And away we go. We are off and running on this Thursday, April the 2nd, 2020, 4/2/2020. 13 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you for the ride this morning on the Now program. And it's going to be a morning of hopefully information that you can use and also entertainment, which I think people need. I think people need to laugh. So it's going to be a combination this morning, and it will go on through 1 o'clock today. I'll be on the first 2 hours this morning, and we're going to try to update you on all the news that's going on in Ohio, how things have changed because of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. We will have Glenn Coble in this morning filling in for Charlie Evers. Glenn and myself will fill in for Charlie again from 10 until 12 and hopefully have some fun and just maybe get our mind off of everything for a couple hours. And then Glenn will be on from 12 until 1 today, hopefully doing the same. And then the Adam the Computer Guy show will be on today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. and a whole lot of other programming in between and here and there, but that's what it is right now, and that's where it is, and it's going to be an interesting morning because there are a lot of changes happening every single day, and it's very hard, I think, to stay ahead of all the changes that are constantly happening, but we're going to do our best to do that. That's what we've tried to do, and that's what we're going to continue to do, and hopefully bring you the news, but not overwhelm. Because I think there is a tendency right now to overwhelm people with the news of this. So hopefully we are not going to do that. We're going to try not to overwhelm people with all the changes that are going on. We will try to balance this. We will give you the news as it comes and also try to have some fun. Because I know people are cooped up, so we will have a combination of that this morning. Now, I do want to let you know that coming up in hour two this morning, we're going to be joined by the Marion Public Health Commissioner, Tracy Kinsler. She was on Tuesday morning. She will also be on this morning, a little after 9, because there are some changes going on today. The governor, Governor DeWine, will have a press conference today at 2 o'clock in what can be open and can't be open, and what's going to be left up to the local health departments and what's going to be left up to the local law enforcement when it comes to businesses that should stay open and should practice social distancing. I think there are some changes coming today, as alluded by Governor DeWine yesterday, to those rules at this point. And today we will talk with our own health commissioner at 9:15 about what those rules might be here in Marion. As well, in the 9 o'clock hour, we will be joined by practicing physician Chris Ann Gordon, a practicing physician in Marysville, who's going to update us on how this all happened, when is this surge likely to happen, what is going to happen in this neck of the woods, and what's the best way to get through it. So Dr. Chris Ann Gordon, practicing physician in Marysville, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, along with Tracy Kinsler, local Marion Public Health Commissioner. And we've been checking in with her a lot, and I'm sure we will continue to check in with her a lot. Now, in hour number one this morning, we're joined by a gentleman who's been on this program several times, certainly never in a position like this. But things are changing, and not just with health, not just with business, but also voting. It's an interesting thing. It's an election year. We were supposed to have a primary back in March. That did not happen because of the COVID-19. and changes have come to voting, and we're going to try to figure that all out, and nobody better to figure that out with than Ohio Democratic Party Chairman David Pepper. David, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Yeah, good morning to you. David, before we get to the changes in voting here, what do you make of this whole situation in general that we are in the middle of right now, COVID-19?
Obviously, it's just terrible to see what's happening with Americans, folks in other countries. The caseload is getting higher. People are passing away. People are really sick. But at the same time, we're seeing some real heroes, nurses, doctors, frontline workers, from grocery stores to cleaning staff. Some really heroic people are stepping up and doing everything they can, and it's our job on the public side to do everything we can to help them. Often I'm on this show with my Democratic hat on. It's on now, but it's on also complimenting anyone who's doing a good job right now, and I include in that Governor DeWine, his team, Dr. Acton. I think that a lot of us in Ohio are proud that we have been responsible and taken steps and worked across party lines in almost every way. And that's what the people should deserve and expect. It's what these frontline heroes need right now. I mean, the problem, forget the election for a second, although I'm excited to talk about it. As much as Ohio is doing a lot right, we still know we have far too few masks. We have far too little testing in Ohio. It's not coming the way it should, and it's frustrating because, everyone should be treated well, but when a state like Ohio is doing everything right, letting experts like Dr. Acton lead, it's frustrating that we're not getting the same response that other states are getting. So I echo, our both party leaders, Democrats and Republicans, calling for more equipment, more protective equipment, more masks, more testing. That will put us even in an even better position to deal with it. But I commend and have been proud to work across party lines to try and get on top of this as much as we can.
David, it's kind of interesting. Before we get into the voting changes here, our Governor DeWine, obviously a Republican, is now being praised by a lot of publications, including the BBC, not a publication, but a British broadcasting company, for his early action on this and the way he has handled it. What have you made of Governor DeWine's performance?
So what I'd say is I agree with that praise. I was pretty praiseworthy, too, early on. And it's pretty simple, and there are two approaches in a moment like this. One is to be political, and the other is to listen to the experts, and in this case, the doctors and the health experts. And I think the secret of DeWine's success has been, maybe it's because he's been around a while, he doesn't need to run for something else. He hasn't let politics drive his response. He's let his health expert, Dr. Acton, be the leader, and he's listened to her, and he's put her out front to talk about what has to happen in very clear terms, and people have not shied away from just confronting the real facts, and not to get political for a second, but that's a direct contrast to what we're seeing out of Washington, where it looks like very rarely is it being led by science and the facts, and in this case, maybe far too late. But in Ohio, DeWine has basically said, hey, I'm comfortable letting the experts lead. And around the country, I think where that has happened, be it California or some other states, Republican and Democrat, when they have let the experts lead, they've done better. I just saw this morning that the governor of Georgia just yesterday said, we just found out that people who don't have symptoms can infect other people. Well, that's someone who has not been listening to experts. Because everyone who's paying attention anyway has known for some time that one of the biggest problems with this virus is that people who aren't showing symptoms are spreading it. Well, for the governor of Georgia to say he only learned that yesterday, the day before, tells me, unlike Mike DeWine, he has not had health expert at his table helping him. So I think DeWine has just been very forthright, transparent, And but number one, he's allowed experts to lead, and that's why he's, I think, and he's not sort of horse traded between what they're saying versus political considerations. He's followed their advice and communicated it well. And that's, it's in the end kind of a simple lesson in leadership.
David, you know, without placing blame here, the one hiccup that I think people will talk about during this whole incident, and certainly we are in the middle of it, was primary day in Ohio back in March. If we go back and try to remember that, it seems like a long time ago now. But we were told that weekend that it was going to happen. We were going to vote. That was what was going to happen. The day before, the governor says, no, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't have the power to stop it, but I'm going to file a court case. The court case was filed. The judge says, no, we're going to vote at 6 o'clock at night. And then at 10 o'clock, the health department shut it down. People were so confused on primary day. What happened, in your estimation, that day?
I mean, I think that obviously the decision, and I think Governor Wine has said this, so I don't say this as pointy fingers, but the decision just obviously came too late. And I think what happened was, you know, late in the week before, and I started to hear this, and I started to sort of voice concern. Late in the week before, was really when you began to hear how quickly it was spreading. Dr. Acton had started to say her concerns about gathering together, you know, over 100 people, over 50 people. And the Secretary of State, I think, you know, his job is to run an election, so he was adjusting. He said, you know, he had to find more poll workers because a lot of poll workers are elderly and were dropping off. And I think my guess is DeWine was thinking, okay, I'm handling other things. I'll let the Secretary of State handle the election. And I think by the weekend it was pretty clear that despite hard work to get new poll workers in, you know, I was hearing myself from people. Hey, I went to the training. They didn't tell me anything about being separated by 6 feet. They didn't tell me anything about how to clean the equipment. And I think what I'm sure Governor DeWine heard by Monday was the same I was hearing, which is, that these polling places were in no way close to being able to run an election in a way that you could assure the 35,000 poll workers who were mostly older or voters that it was safe and clean. So he made the decision on Monday. Obviously, I'm sure he would say, you know, I wish I had come to grips with the fact that things weren't ready earlier, because it was chaotic and it's led to some confusion, which we're obviously all working to clean up now. But let me just be very clear. In the end, I think it was the right decision. I wish it had been sooner. I wish it had been communicated sooner. The court hearing, and then there was a miscommunication that they thought they had won when they lost, so poll workers all went home, and it was clearly a mess, and mistakes were made. But I am glad that we weren't one of the states that went forward. I also think going forward, you know, on a Tuesday, when half the people aren't showing up because they're scared, that's not a real election anyway. I mean, you may have in fact held it on that day, but if a whole lot of voters are self-selecting from coming because they're scared, that's a tainted result anyway. So I think you're better off taking a step back and figuring out how to do it right than endangering poll workers and voters all at the same time. As I said to Governor DeWine on the Monday, he communicated this, and we had a brief conversation. I said, Governor, you have done a very good job of reducing every opportunity for large events that spread this virus, so it makes sense to me that you're doing it with the election. Now, some people weren't happy with that. You know, no matter what, people said, you have to do it today. I think, you know, and we may face this in November, we have to be able to have democracy go forward. We have to do it by mail in this case. But I think not having in-person voting that day was actually a very important way to reduce the explosion of the spread. And I think in another state, we're seeing it in Florida, where they had the election, and the governor there has not been as on top of it. They are now having to go back. Some polling workers had the virus, and now voters are being told from those polling places to look for symptoms. That was my nightmare. That was clearly Governor DeWine's nightmare, and I think we can now conduct the election in a safe way where people still have their chance to exercise the right to vote. But yeah, it came too late, and there was a good deal of confusion because of that.
Before we get to how things are going now, one of the concerns, I think, that day, just by happenstance and the way this is all going, it's a presidential year. And yes, there were local primaries on the ballot, both Democrat and Republican throughout the state, but it was a presidential primary day, which would have been covered nationally. You know, it's called Super Tuesday. And there was really no Republican presidential primary here in Ohio, so it did come down at that point to Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, and that didn't happen. Do you think that's going to have impact now that it's been pushed off a little bit? Because Bernie Sanders is still not out of this race at this point.
You know, that's a good question. I think that the, you know, and we are neutral as a party, and it's up to, you know, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden to make decisions about their campaign. I mean, one of the challenges now is that a lot of primaries are being pushed back. Now, ours was unique that it actually had a lot of voting already happened, but a lot of states have moved out of April into May or June, and that sort of has pushed the end of the primary back. I mean, if Bernie Sanders continues to stay in the primary, it means that there isn't a primary for a while, and, you know, that might have an impact. Now, Wisconsin goes next week. I will tell you, I think it's a bit, you know, having gone when we went through in Ohio, I think Wisconsin is really rolling the dice with their voters by insisting on an in-person day. So many poll workers have dropped out of the Wisconsin election that they're bringing the National Guard to run the election. I think, frankly, they're making a mistake to not have it be like Ohio is going to be, a mail-only election. But again, most states have pushed it back. So to the extent that delays the primary, you know, I think that's, you know, that's the impact. Now, at the same time, and again, we're neutral. I mean, but Biden has pulled ahead. He is clearly now the overwhelming favorite. And I think if you watch, he's sort of treating it in the way he's addressing this virus as if he's sort of the Democratic standard bearer. And that probably makes sense. I mean, if Bernie stays in, there's still some path. But I think Biden has sort of decided he's not going to keep sniping in a primary. He's going to move forward. So, yeah, it's an awkward situation. And to the extent these primaries are being delayed, it is an issue. Hey, one reason, so one thing we did not agree with the Secretary of State was a June 2nd date for the primary to conclude. We think that really pushes things very long. I think there are a lot of school levies who need to know an answer to their levy a lot sooner than that. It's difficult in a lot of other ways. But one other reason for this was we want Ohio to have a full voice at the convention picking a nominee, and we want to be part of that. And by wrapping up the primary sooner, Ohio gets to be at the table nominating a president versus if we wait too long. So that is one of the considerations we had in trying to have this thing end a little earlier than the Secretary of State wanted.
And that's one of the things we heard on what would have been primary day back in March. We heard that the in-person date was going to be pushed back to June the 2nd. Where are we now? What is going on with all this now?
So we're back on a legal track, and this is the thing I had the biggest issue with. Canceling an in-person primary is a very, very bad precedent, although, as I said, necessary in this case. And unfortunately, you know, and again, I'm not pointing fingers, but the Secretary of State announced a new day and publicized it as if that was sort of the decision. And the problem is only the legislature or a court can set the date of an election, not an executive like DeWine or LaRose. And for a couple of days, June 2nd was bandied about like it was decided. And that's just not, you know, the Ohio law is very clear. The legislature is the one to decide. So if you heard about June 2nd, you heard about it in the few days where it was being put out there as if that was the actual day, when in fact the legislature needs to make the decision. And we went to court to try and make it clear that this was the case, because we all should be following the rule of law. Well, the legislature came back into session a week ago and established a day of April 28th. So June 2nd, erase it from your mind. That was never a legally approved date. The date is April 28th. And the other thing I didn't like about the June 2nd was that was actually put out there as if we'd be voting in person on June 2nd. I don't think that's a realistic or responsible course. I don't think I think that we could very well have that on June 2nd. We could very well all be still stuck not meeting in big groups. So an election wouldn't have happened anyway, and we would have had a second canceled day. April 28th is now the day, and it is a vote by mail election almost entirely. By the way, which other, as you know, other states do. Washington State has done vote by mail for several elections. They have a higher turnout. So now, basically, people who have not voted, if you voted and you're listening already, your vote is in, and it will be counted. It's secure. You don't have to worry about it. Good for you for getting it in early. If you haven't voted, you now have until April 28th to take two steps. One step is fill out a form that you send to the Board of Elections that requests a ballot, and you request either a Democratic ballot, a Republican ballot. If you're a Libertarian, that's what you request, or you only want an issues ballot. So you have to get that form in. The way you get that form is you call the Board of Elections and ask them to send it to you, or you can go online and request it at the Secretary of State's website. You could actually fill it out on the Secretary of State's website, print it out and send it in, or you can actually, so the easiest step is to call the Board of Elections and have them send it. You can go to the website, fill it out and send it in, and that is OhioSOS.gov. Or you can actually, if you don't have a printer, I have a printer, but I've never figured out how to set it up. You could actually handwrite the information from that form and mail that in. When you do that, you'll get a ballot, and here's the number, here's the key. A couple more minutes, Jack, that's my son in the background. When you get your ballot, the postage on that ballot is paid for. As long as it's in the mail by April 27th, your ballot will count. You also, though, if you're someone who wants to see it go into the Board of Elections and not only in the mail, you can actually drop it off of the Board of Elections up to April 28th. So that's the new setup. If you think about everything I just described, that actually, for most people, will take less time than showing up on election day and waiting in line and voting. It's more of a process than I wish it were, and in the fall, by the way, if we have to do this again, I believe there's no reason to actually apply for a ballot. You should just get one sent to you, but that's a different election. But for now, get the application, send it in, get the ballot, send it in, you're done, all from your living room, all safely, and frankly, even that quicker, less work than actually going to your voting place on election day.
Just to make this understandable for people, because I don't think this is getting a lot of press, in the coronavirus era, that seems to take the front page of the paper every day. So just to clarify, what's going to happen here in Ohio with the primary election at this point, two important points. The deadline is April 28th. That's the day we need
Correct.
To remember. And also,
with a postmark on the mail, if you mail it, the postmark, and this is true of any election, needs to be April 27th. You got to stick it in the mail by the 27th.
And there
if you drop it off in person, the 28th, but that's the cutoff.
And there will be no chance to vote in person.
So the only exception for that are people where voting by mail is truly, let's say, impossible. That is people who are homeless and don't have an address, and people with disabilities who, because of that disability, have to vote in person. But no one else, again, there's litigation right now, but these are the current terms. If that is not your situation, please do it by mail, because I don't want people showing up on election day and being denied the right to vote. But that narrow exception is necessary, so people who can't vote by mail are not disenfranchised. But outside of that narrow window, everyone else needs to vote by mail or drop the ballot off of the Board of Elections.
So will there be, at my polling place, will that be open on April 28th, or is that not going to happen?
It will be the Board of Elections.
Board of Elections.
Each county will be open, not the polling place. Again, the reason for that, if we could have had more in-person voting, I'd be the first one. But the idea that in mid-April, I don't want those poll workers sitting around your polling location interacting with 400 people, the poll workers could easily get infected, and then they could pass it on to the voters. So the key to do this safely is to have a very narrow window of in-person, and in this case, have it at the Board of Elections where they are. There's a much higher likelihood that they can keep it clean, keep it keep people separate. But even then, it's only the very narrow window of people who have a disability that requires them to, that makes it so they can't do it by mail, or they literally don't have an address because they are homeless or some other situation where they couldn't vote by mail because they had no address to receive it at. Everyone else should be, for the sake of their own health, for the sake of the law of the election, for the sake of the Board of Elections and workers, everyone else should be voting by mail, as I've said, which, if people are doing the basic steps we described, is just not that difficult.
And so again, just to reiterate this, April 28th, postmark by April 27th, you vote
Correct.
By mail. There are a few cases where you could go to the Board of Elections before that, April 28th, and vote in person. There is going to be no polling place, no primary day as it has been in the past. This is how we're going to do it.
Yes. And two things you do. One, apply for that ballot, and you get the application by calling or filling it out at the Secretary of State's website, and then get the ballot, fill it out. Now, one thing, I don't want to confuse anybody. There is currently a court case that might extend this by, if the people are successful, that might extend it. But right now that hasn't happened. So go with the 28th as your deadline. If all of a sudden there's a decision that you have more time, then you're in early. But our advice right now is the law is set for April 28th. Follow that. Get it in. And by the way, I've heard from boards of elections. Butler County, for example, I'm in Cincinnati right now. They have gotten as many applications for mail ballots in the last week as they did the entire election. So people are filling this out. People are paying attention amid, as you said, And right now, everyone's main concern is their health, but people still want to vote. So it's happening. In Cincinnati, all the Kroger stores are also providing, they have the applications available in their stores, which is wonderful. We hope more people do things like that. So apparently people are sending these applications in. But you want to do that application relatively soon so that you know you're going to get your ballot in time to then turn it around by the 27th or... So one part of the law, just so I keep saying drop it off, every Board of Elections is supposed to have, under this law, a receptacle outside the Board of Elections available 24/7 that's secure, that people can drop their ballot off there. A lot of them do that already in early vote. So again, you can mail it by the 27th, but the reason I keep saying you can drop it off is there should be a slot, some receptacle at your county's Board of Elections where you could drive and drop it off in that receptacle 24/7 up to the 28th.
David, two quick final wrap-up questions here. You know, the date that it is right now, we have 25 days from today to have this postmarked and sent in. That being
Correct.
Said, because of all the news just being dominated by coronavirus, and apparently these are going to be the most horrific 2 weeks coming up of this disease, according to Washington, according to the state at this point, do you think that message will be carried out as well as it needs to be carried out in the next 25 days? And do you think voter turnout will be what it normally is in a presidential primary year?
I'm worried on the second, no matter what, it will not be. And that's sad for me because we were, I think, on pace to a very high turnout. But to be clear, the states that are having in-person voting, like the ones that we had that were on the same day as ours, their turnout dropped a lot because people were scared to vote. And that's also a bad situation. To make people choose between voting and being in their health is not a fair thing to do. So I think turnout, you know, Wisconsin's turnout next week, if they move forward, I think we'll also see a big drop. So I'm afraid of that, although I will say, in the states that have mail-in voting only, when they do it right, the turnout actually generally is higher. So long-term, it actually, once people get used to it, people find it more convenient. But on your first question, We have a voter protection team. We're working very hard to get the word out to make sure people know. One thing I want to throw out there, we have a hotline number, 833-DEM-VOTE, 833-DEM-VOTE, D-E-M-V-O-T-E. If anyone has any questions about anything, call that number. That's vote of our voter protection team. But just to be clear, we will be working very hard as an organization, online, telephone, teletown hall, to get the word out. I'm sure candidates and campaigns will be sending out mailers, but Secretary of State LaRose will be sending out at least a postcard to every registered voter explaining this process. My guess is that will be out in the coming days, in the next week. And like I said, other organizations are stepping up, local boards of elections, Kroger I mentioned. My hope is people do get this information. Obviously, that's going to take some work. It is a different type of election, but it certainly won't be for lack of many, many people trying very hard to get the word out. And by the way, one example, when I was a candidate, long ago, it's been a while, I would always send out information on how to get an application. You can actually send out as a candidate, your mailer can have an application on it. So the smart campaigns that have resources left, and some of them, unfortunately for them, spend a lot because they thought the election was the 17th, they, if they're doing their job well, they are trying to get this information out. So I think there'll be a lot of effort. It's, you know, it's not perfect. But one thing that actually may be helpful, if we are stuck, worst-case scenario, with a vote-by-mail election in November, going through this, the primary will be the best training for voters to figure out how it's done. So it's not so strange when even bigger decisions are at stake come November.
Is there a real concern about that at this point?
I would say there is. I mean, what do they say in life? You know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. If you listen to the experts, which, again, the good leaders are doing, there is a risk, and I'm not the expert, so I don't want to overstate it, that in the summer months where you typically see flu generally go down, that maybe this goes down somewhat in the summer, but then the risk comes to the fall and the early winter, does it come back? And if it does come back, if that were to happen in November, then there is a risk. And that's, and we can, you know, the Constitution sets the election date in November. That date is not changing. I believe that the state legislature, the Secretary of State, should at least be planning for a contingency that it must be vote by mail again in November, so people are literally not worried that they're going to ruin their health or worse by voting. So I think it's something every state should plan for. And this is where I think you take what's happening now and you have to make it even more robust. It, you know, the reason you have to fill out this application for ballot is because the government has to know what ballot you want, and it's not the government's job to decide for you if you're a Democrat or Republican getting that ballot. In the fall, everyone gets the same ballot. So in the fall, there's no reason why everyone should have to fill out a form to get one. Just like you don't have to fill out a form to go vote, you just go vote. Everyone, we believe, should be sent the ballot straight up. No application. If you're registered, you get the ballot. The postage on that ballot should be paid for. There should be enough time to get it in. And so we have to be, I think, thinking about what that would look like in the scenario that no one will be voting in person. Again, I hope that we're all going to baseball games in summer and fall, and the football season's underway in November, and everything's clear. But the worst case scenario is that that's not going to be the case. And if that's not the case, we may have to be worried about a vote by mail election then. So we better think about what that would look like now, as opposed to scrambling. You described it. Monday before the election was chaos. It was confusing. Let's not have that happen again if we have to go to a vote-by-mail election come November. Let's plan ahead, get it right, and not have anyone be confused.
David, do we know, will we know the results on April 28th? Will we know the 29th? How will that process
work? If that day sticks, you know, you remember on election day, the first numbers you get on election day are always the early vote. So my guess is that, from listening to Board of Elections people I know, that numbers would actually come in quite quickly. It's easier that way. Now, there will still be ballots coming in for days after that, but that's always the case. But I think by doing it by mail, you actually get, you know, the boards have chance to count the ballots before the, you know, 7:30 p.m. on Election Day. So I think we would get results relatively quickly.
David, just to reiterate this one more time before we let you go, what is the date? What do people have to do?
April 28th is the closing of the window of the election. You can drop off the ballot you've requested by mail up to April 28th. You can mail it. As long as it's postmarked April 27th, you're good to go. Just make sure that you apply to get that ballot and as soon as you can. And the way you get that application is call your Board of Elections or go to the Ohio Secretary of State's website, ohiosos.gov, and fill out the form to get it. And if you have any questions one last time, the number to call is 833-DEM-VOTE, and we will answer any questions you have about the process. But if something changes, we'll let you know. But get your application in, get your vote in, and obviously there's a lot of other things to worry about in life. But we have to, democracy must continue despite this. We've continued through wars, including civil wars. We can certainly continue to exercise our right to vote through this as well. So I hope everybody does.
Ohio Democratic Party Chairman David Pepper. David, thank you so much. This is very important information, and we will continue to get it out through April 28th. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Great to be on.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
David Pepper, Ohio Democratic Party Chairman. Very interesting stuff there. I did not know that. I did, you know, we all heard June 2nd. Well, get that out of your mind. That's not going to happen. We're not voting on June the 2nd. There's not going to be people going out and voting in person. That's not the deal. You need to get a hold of the Board of Elections. You can do this on the website if you have access to a computer, and get your vote sent in, postmarked by April 27th. That's 25 days from today. Has to be postmarked by April 27th. Now, you can go there and vote in person if you still want to do that, but get their hours and know what's going on, because things are constantly changing. But April 28th is the primary day, and it's not going to be a day where you can go to your polling place. That's not happening. All people will vote at the Board of Elections, but only extenuating circumstances should you go to the Board of Elections. You need to get what I guess is pretty much an absentee ballot and do it that way. Print it out, write it out, do something, and get it to them. Call them if you have any questions, or call the number that David just gave to you. That's what needs to happen. That's very important. You know, this stuff is not all that, it's not entertainment to a certain extent, but it is information we need to know, because we've never had that happen before. And I think we all believe June 2nd, and there are a lot of people who want to vote. It is a presidential primary year, and we need to know this stuff. And there are local races going on too. April 28th. Sew that into your brain and tell all your friends, because they need to know too, because if they want to participate in democracy, this is how you're going to do it. Now, we have 10 minutes left here in this hour before we go to the next hour. If anybody would like to comment on anything, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm not going to get into any trivia in the next 10 minutes. I don't think that's a whole lot of time to do that, but we would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944 if you have anything to say. Now remember, the Marion County EMA is accepting donations of personal protective equipment, PPE. Donations include disposable gowns, non-sterile gloves, surgical masks, N95 masks, hand sanitizer. Call the Marion County EMA at 740-223-4142. That's 740-223-4142. That's how you do that. And that stuff is very important at this particular juncture. Now, last night, we want to invoke some entertainment. Last night, I got together with Michelle and Abby, and we did our taping of our podcast, Paper Rings, which you can go to YouTube and search and find and hear all those fascinating conversations. But last night, I have two things to say about the conversation last night. Now, here's what I have to say. I came in, Now, I have to give some praise here. I always want to give praise where it's due. Abby had made donuts. And there was a whole reason she had made these donuts, but she made donuts. Let's just say that because we're on limited time here. She made donuts, and she said it was her first time making the donuts. Now, I'll tend to believe that at this particular point. But when most people make homemade donuts, you know, it's they take the, what is it? They take the, you know, like biscuit, the things that come in the little tube, and they drop those in the vegetable oil, and they put a little powdered sugar on top, and that's pretty much how a donut is made, homemade for most of us who are not chefs. Well, she came in with these donuts last night, and the strange thing about them was, proportion-wise and look-wise, they actually looked like real donuts. Now, I do want to let everybody know, just in case people are nervous about this, we social distanced, 6 feet apart, you know, the whole bit. You have to do that. That's very important at this particular point. 6 feet apart, social distancing, we did all that. But she brought in these donuts. And the donuts they looked like real donuts. It was very shocking to me. I was kind of taken aback by this. So then we ate a donut. Michelle ate a donut and I ate a donut. And I'll tell you, they tasted pretty much like regular glazed donuts. Now, I don't know how this happens, to be honest with you, because I was impressed. I was seriously impressed by this. So that's the one thing last night, the whole donut escapade. Now, the other thing was, for some reason last night, Michelle, who I always refer to as the nice one, came in. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's the social distancing. Maybe it's the 6 feet apart. Maybe it's the, I don't know, lack of hand sanitizer in the world that we all face right now. But she came in like, she was not mean, because she could never be mean, but she just came in, you know, like anything I said last night had no importance. You know, I would say something, and I don't even know if it registered. It would just, you know, right on to a different conversation, whatever I was saying. So it was interesting. Because I enjoyed seeing her that way, because it was a different side of her. And I will also tell you, this is an awful story, because I was just about to start recording. And, you know, you want to be G-rated, and you want to be kind, and you want to be all that sort of thing. And I had said to them, I had said, okay, we're going to start taping in about 10 seconds here. Now, 10 seconds is not a whole lot of time. Now, thank goodness I did not bring up the sound. But I had thought about it. See, this is the thing. I had thought about bringing up the sound. And in the room, I had headphones in, so you can only kind of hear what people are saying, but I was just about to bring up the microphones, and I heard Abby say three words. Now, I've heard her say one of these words before, which is not a word that you would want to say in polite company, but she said this word, and she said it in a sentence structure that I had never heard it before. And if you had heard it, thank goodness it's not on tape anywhere or never got out. But if you had heard it, if that would have been the first thing you would have heard listening to this podcast, you would have wondered what was going on in the room, because it was a very strange saying. If you heard it out of context. Now, I know why she said it, because there was a conversation going on before we went on the air. But holy mackerel, I'm telling you, it's the Kentucky. And I love people from Kentucky, but, you know, if I had ever heard a Kentucky phrasing, that was it. That's something you'd be sitting in a, you know, you'd be sitting in a holler, maybe around the campfire, roasting hot dogs and s'mores, and you would hear somebody say something like this down in Kentucky. And it's just, you know, here's the problem with it. And I can't say it. I can't even begin to tell you what it was. But the problem is, if you heard it in context, you would get it. You would understand why it was being said. But if you heard it out of context, like just if a microphone was being turned on and you just heard somebody blurt that out, you would think it was like a command or maybe a request. I don't know. But it was just awful, 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 and nearly gave me a heart attack. Because I don't, you know, there are certain things people should say and certain things people should not say, and you've got to temper it when people are listening. That's all I'm saying. It was very funny, but again, in context, I knew what it meant. I got it. But had you just turned on the microphone, had somebody just heard that out of the blue, it would have been a whole different thing. I'm getting yelled at now on the internet, and you know what? I don't care at this point. I wanted to tell that story. I think it's a very apt story. I think it's a funny story in this time. I don't know. It's a very strange thing. And I don't regret telling this story. So they're just going to have to type all day long. Oh, man, 59 minutes past the hour. It was a strange story. And I hope you're laughing, because if some of you have dreamed up what the saying is, I hope, you know, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family, your daughters, your brothers, your sisters, your sons, to never say that phrase in front of a microphone where people might not understand what you're saying if the microphones all of a sudden were turned on. That's all I'm saying. That it's a lesson. It's really a lesson here this morning. I feel like I'm teaching a lesson to society. And again, I can't tell you the phrase. There's no way I could tell you the phrase. I can't even allude to it, but you can figure it out. We're coming back with a whole lot. We're going to be on till 1 o'clock today. Don't you dare go anywhere. Stay tuned. WWGH Radio, and watch your mouth. Stay tuned. 1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege, for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
No, she did fire me. She didn't threaten to fire me.
She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. You know, I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press, and Barbara was about to announce it on the Emmys, and she had a fit, and she was furious with me, and she fired me. She said, I'm not renewing a contract, on the phone. I was like, well, it was a mistake. And she said, it was a big mistake. And then she took it back in like a half an hour.
When I typed in your name last night, something came up from your appearance on The View on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Snooki was on, I guess.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. And
I was there.
One day this week, I think she was on. And she gave a quote to one of the internet sites that says the first time she was there, she really liked Whoopi Goldberg, and this is her quote, Snooki. The person who wasn't nice to me the first time on The View was Joy Behar. Uh-huh. She goes, why are you to be Italian? I don't